Did you hear the big news? We started a private university. We are rolling out a new design certificate program and a master's degree program along with our Design Suite Mastermind. We have new enrollment dates coming up for these programs. And if you want to watch a 10-minute video and learn more, go to designsuitecourses.com/learn. In August, I spoke at the Utah Creative Collaborative on mastery, and I thought this was such a interesting and powerful way to think about being a creative business that I wanted to share it with you guys here. I highly recommend that you check out the YouTube video. If you go to youtube.com/Karina Gardner, you can see all my slides. I do a Q&A at the very end, and I really hope it gives you a realistic vision of why mastery truly precedes money, success, fulfillment. I had a great time speaking to the Utah Creative Collaborative, and I hope you enjoy.
We will just begin, and we are so excited to have all of you in person, but also you online on Facebook Live. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Hive Collaborative. Thank you to Ken and the Argo family who are hosting us. We here at Creative Collaborative host this meeting and invite amazing speakers to come and share their story and inspire us with their creative motivation so that we can live our dreams. So thank you to Karina Gardner, who's here tonight to speak to us. I'm going to just do a quick intro to what we do, how you can find more information about us, and then also read her bio before we turn the time over to her. Creative Collaborative began about 9 years ago. We've been hosting speakers. You can check out past speakers and even studio tours on our Instagram at Creative Collaborative Utah. And you can see amazing, even over COVID and pandemic, we were bringing the creative energy to the audience through these studio tours. So there's a lot of fun things there and people that you can check out in videos. So check us out. And then next month on the second Tuesday, we have another speaker. And usually every second Tuesday of the month, except for July and December, we give you that month off for all the creative energies at home. So we are so excited to host and be here together. Thank you again to The Hive and Karina for coming down here. If you have any creative or artist gallery openings or shows that you want us to post online, please let us know, DM us. My name is Heidi Foss. Our other host is Haley. She's out of town today. But we are just so excited to share the abundance of creative energy online. So if you have any information that you want us to post about, please let us know. And unless there's anything going on now that you want us to share about really quick. I know in Provo they have the Downtown Art Stroll on the first Fridays, so that is something fun and worth seeing in this beautiful weather. Anything else coming up in the room? Karina, do you have anything else you want to share about? All right, well, I'm going to read her bio and turn the time over to her. If you have any questions, we will have Q&A at the end. If you on Facebook Live have questions, put them in the comments. We'll try to include those as well. Oh, Ken reminded me of some very important announcement I need to share. We have the privilege of sharing Lost Works. Ken Argel, do you want to share about this? They're hosting a play here at the Hive Collaborative. Yes, we need to share about this.
So we have an original play that my brother wrote. It's been going on for a week, and now we're in the final week. So tomorrow night through Saturday, we have our show here, and it takes place. It's a Shakespearean-esque, modern-esque, very fun little play. So if you are interested in coming, if you put Hive Friends, you get half off. So that's kind of a fun thing. All right.
That is good. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I meant to share that really important announcement. So you can see on their Instagram, Hive Collaborative, there's a link at the top and you can get tickets. Again, that's Hive Friend for the discount. And I'm excited to come and see that. So you have through the end of the week to come. So any other announcements? Okay, we are going to read Karina's bio and look forward to her amazing presentation about mastery. I have been so giddy and so excited about this evening. So without further ado, Karina teaches surface pattern and crafting design to an exclusive design mastermind. She currently has the only design education program that teaches designers how to make money as they learn to design. Karina has a PhD in design from the University of Minnesota, and she taught design at that university for 5 years before starting her business, Karina Gardner, Inc. She was also the creative director of Cartabella Scrapbook Papers. The Karina Gardner brand has been on dish towels, jewelry, prints, holiday products for Deseret Book, and her brand, Minnie Lou, has sold products for Nordstrom, Peak Clothing, and 500 independent retailers and museums in the U.S. She currently designs fabrics for Riley Blake Designs and die cuts for Silhouette Inc. We're so excited to hear and receive the enthusiasm and motivation from Karina Gardner. So let's give her a welcome and turn the time to her.
I haven't used this little slide projector. Fingers crossed I can figure it out. Okay, so good to see you guys. So good to be in person. Three of my design suite members came. That got me super excited, and especially because I could sit there and tell them what they exactly needed to do. Because I am crazy about becoming really good at what you do for a living. I think we should be so excellent at it that no one else competes with us, okay? And so Heidi gave me some topics, and I was like, when I saw mastery, I was like, let's dig in. Let's really dig in. And I don't know what you're used to at a Utah collaborative, but I'm gonna get a little down and dirty. We're gonna talk about meat. I'm into implementation and action steps, so we're gonna talk about some of that, and I'm pretty excited to dig in with you guys. I can use the clipper. Apparently, you don't need a PhD for it, so that's great. Okay, so mastery, according to Karina, the ability to become so good at a specific skill that you are perceived as an expert, okay? So what contributes to becoming a master at something? So these are the things that I hear most people talking about: grit, self-discipline, positive energy, 10,000 hours. You guys have heard that, like outlier, Malcolm Gladwell. Ability, knowledge, and skill. Okay, so these are the things we hear about, but what we're going to talk about today is three things that I think people skip over or don't think about that hopefully will give you hope and give you an action plan as you move forward, okay? So I'm going to partially sit because guess what? I actually am never in heels. I'm like one of those people who loves being barefoot everywhere. Okay, so why is mastery important? And mastery in particular is important to me for a lot of reasons. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I got started and why I can see that becoming really good at something is so important. So I got my PhD from the University of Minnesota. I taught design, and it's so funny, right before this, McKenna, who is my social media manager, has a graphic design degree, and we were talking about how in design, at the university level, we really concentrate on theory. Not on action, but on theory. And so I left the university setting to start my own business, started doing a ton of freelance, and someone pointed me towards digital scrapbooking, and I did that. If you come to a design boot camp, I tell you all about that. But I did that, and I sucked at it. And I had a PhD in design. And I was like, why do I suck so bad at this? And it's because I didn't understand scrapbooking. I didn't understand the marketplace. I didn't understand a lot of things that I needed to learn and, through experience, become masterful at, right? So fast forward 2 or 3 years into it, I kind of had a grip on it. I started making some serious money and figuring out really how this whole thing works. Ended up getting a fabric contract, ended up getting, here's a couple of my ebooks, quilt patterns we came out with. I got a great scrapbooking deal. I became a big brand for Deseret Book. We were doing dishware lines, Christmas lines, all under the Karina Gardner brand, jewelry lines, prints, clocks, I mean, like anything they would throw at me that were like, we want this, we would do it under the Karina Gardner brand. So I kind of built that up, and it was a really great experience. But the thing I kind of found is that while I was doing all these contracts, I started doing all of this digital stuff right underneath. That was taking a while to build, but as I built it, it started making more money than my contracts. And so that led me into, and this is just more fabric, more patterns, building the brand up in a way that I could build my design agency up And it actually turned into me becoming the creative director at Cartabella, which is the sister company to Echo Park. And that was an amazing experience as well. So this is also, this is my silhouette shop, which I have, you guys, I have no idea how many. I think I did the math the other day and I was like, I think there are, under the Carina Garden brand, we have two brands in the silhouette shop, I think 6,000 to 9,000. Like there's a ridiculous amount of designs. And we're gonna talk about why that is so important, okay? And then while we were building those designs, I wanted to make sure we were off shooting customer service, right? When you have that much design work, what do you end up doing? Fulfillment, fulfillment, fulfillment. So we're telling people how to make the things, they're confused about the things. And so once we kind of got, I got into it, I was like, okay, the time has come. We have to have preventative customer service. And so that's where the YouTube channel was born. We had done a lot on the blog and we found that video was just a lot stronger for making sure that people understood how to build the products, right? So through all these years, and especially if you, oh my gosh, if you go to my YouTube channel and you watch the first 10 videos, you're gonna be like, whoo, like, I can't believe Carina even keeps those up, right? Because I wasn't masterful at any of it. I stunk at all of it. And the key thing, we're gonna dig into some things, but the key thing I want you to come away from tonight is that you should be taking action always, okay? If you're taking action always, then it doesn't matter what fails and what it succeeds, unless you know you're trying to pivot in some way, but you are moving forward. Most people don't take action, you guys. It's kind of crazy, okay? And I really, really, really believe in this. When you go all in a single area of expertise, and for me, that was the surface pattern and crafting area. That was the niche market I came into. Then you rise to the top. During this time period, so it's been the last 14 years, I have been asked to do all kinds of projects. Logo projects, someone contacted me, they wanted me to do their kids' yoga studio, like do all the drop down, fun projects, and I said no to them. Why? Because I knew it would take away the time I needed to become an expert in a single field. Most people get distracted and want to do a lot of different things. If you want to become a master at something, you have to go all in on one thing. And I even do that in the different areas, like fabric design, scrapbooking design, sublimation, whatever the areas are, I will go all in for a very specific amount of time so that I can be very, very good at it, okay? I heard this from Rory Vaden. I think this is so good, and I think it applies not just to design, to artists, to any kind of creative business you have out there. And that is, you should find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others, which was said by Larry Winget. I think this is fantastic. The cool thing about every single person in this room, everyone listening, is that you have a combination of talents that does make you unique. You might be like, well, the surface pattern part, there are lots of people who do, and maybe the part that loves, I'm gonna use an example from Design Suite. Sorry, Lisa, you're always my example. I love dogs, and then they put it together, and it's like, oh, this is the thing that makes this person unique, and then she does it in this certain way, right? And so we have to be really conscious of what makes us unique. I've really identified that for myself. It wasn't just surface design or crafting design. I knew that my mastery came from also teaching it, which is, I'll talk a little bit about my Design Suite program in a second, okay? So after about 13 years of making multiple six figures as a designer, I recognized that there were very few designers in the marketplace making as much money as I was. And I was like, this seems really off. Everybody should be making as much money as I am. And by the way, you guys, you'll notice I talk about money. I think the starving artist thing is just, let's get rid of it, you guys. As designers, as artists, as creatives, we should be making money doing what we like to do, right? So I recognize that very few people were teaching how to make money, how to get licensing deals, which it's very hard, and I wanted to give a realistic vision of that. And I wanted to talk about, you know, what it really took, like a realistic view. So, how does this relate to you? So if you have a creative business, I want you to really recognize what's your unique strength, and then I want you to go all in, because that's how we master something and become really fantastic at this. Okay, I'm gonna stand up for this, because this is really important, and most people do not recognize this, and that is that mastery precedes success. This is huge, you guys, because so many times we're like in the beginning stages of something. I was just talking to Andrea about this. We're at the beginning stages of something, and we think we should be succeeding immediately. And the truth is, it takes a long time to master something, and once we have that mastery, that's when we start seeing the success, okay? So if you're someone who's like in the beginning stages, that should give you hope. You shouldn't be like, oh, I'm not making any money right now. You should be like, oh, once I become a master at this thing and I have my uniqueness, what's going to happen? I'm going to win, okay? So I think success looks like a lot of different things. I think it precedes success. It precedes money, okay? If you can figure out how to master the thing you're so good at, I think you can have financial stability from it. I think it's fulfillment. I've been seeing this as I've been teaching design. I, as a designer, like, I love design. Like, it's been amazing. I love it. It is my heart. I love doing it every day. It comes second nature to me at this point. But it wasn't until 15 months ago when I started my Design Suite program where I started feeling, like, joy. Like, I felt fulfillment. Like, oh, my gosh, and I am doing my life's work, which is my last thing I put here. I think once you find that mastery, you're like, this is my life's work. This is what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to help people. I'm supposed to help women be confident. I want them to find their creative lives, and I want them to make money and feel stable for themselves. So once you can get, this is why I think mastery is so important, and I'm so passionate about it. If we can be masterful at whatever our unique thing is that we do, then all of these things will follow. It's just easy. It comes to you, okay? All right, so I put this here because I don't know if anyone in this room feels here, but I talk to a lot of designers every single week. So what if you feel like you have mastered something, but you are not seeing success? There are so many reasons for that, and we're going to dig in here. I call this the Design Suite conundrum, and this is, I think I almost always hear this in a consult with someone who's coming into my program. And that is, they've taken multiple classes, they maybe even have a graphic design degree, and they go, something is missing. I can't figure out, but something is missing. I'm still not making money. I still don't know what I'm doing wrong, you know? I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting out of this. And that's generally, that person almost always comes into Design Suite because we can figure out the thing that they're missing, right? So the three principles of how mastery precedes success, I really hope this is helpful to you guys and that you have a big takeaway from this. And I believe in these things because I've seen it in my own design career, okay? This is the first one. Mastery addicts set their sights on a much higher goal than they might expect to achieve. Now, this is one of those that's really, really hard for people to understand, and they get really frustrated with it because it takes longer than you think to attain your goals, and this is the worst, it takes more effort than you think to attain your goals, which kind of sucks, right? You're kind of like, ah, dang it, like, I want to get in there, and I just want to do it, and I want to start making money, and it'll be fine, okay? I was just listening to Alex Hormozi, and he talks about this, and then I'll relate it to what I have seen. He talks about how he owned a gym, and he had someone who was very successful come to him and say, well, you should do flyers. You need more people in the door? You should do flyers. So Alex goes out, he gets about 300 flyers, puts it out there, comes back, and nothing really happens, okay? And so the guy comes back to him, and he's like, so how did it go? And he was like, well, it didn't really work for me. It's just like, you know, right? How many of you, like, have seen that? Like, you do something, and then you don't see anything from it, and you're like, it just didn't work for me, okay? And the guy says, well, how many did you put out? And he was like, well, I did about 300. And the guy was like, you did 300? And Alex was like, yeah, I did 300. And the guy was like, I never do less than 5,000 for a test batch. And he said, I usually do 100,000 and we get a 0.5% return. And Alex was like, and that's when it hit me, right? Like, I was thinking 300 was a lot. And this guy was telling me 100,000 is what he does. And he has a few other examples, and I've run into this as well. I talk to designers all the time, and I had someone in a design boot camp say, well, I have 200 designs. And I said to them, come back to me when you have 5,000. It takes more effort and more work to get to where you need to go than you think. And the problem is, like, especially if we're by ourselves, this is why I actually love that Heidi does this collaborative. When we're by ourselves as creatives, what happens is we think we've set the standard when the standard is way up here. It's so much higher than you think it is. It takes more effort to get to mastery than we perceive. And our goals are not big enough or high enough to get to where we need to go. I just think that if you hear that, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I need to find out what's going on. So there's someone in our program who is in a particular shop, and she was like, well, I have this many designs. I said, okay, that's great. Have you gone to the shop and seen who the highest moneymaker is, you think, and do you see how many designs they have? She's like, no. And I said, okay, go find that information out. That's important information, okay? And come back to me and tell me. And I can't remember what the number was. It was several thousand, though. She was like, I want to say it was even crazy, like 11,000 designs, something nuts. She's like, I think it's like 11,000. I said, and that's the number. That's the number. You have 200, that's the number you have to get to. And you have to do it fast because they're already doing that. I was like, you have to get to there as fast as you can. And that's the thing that people don't realize, because that it's a wheel. Because like the more designs we, or whatever we're doing, creative work we're doing, business work we're doing, the more art we're doing, the more we do, the better we get at it, right? So there's like a thing that happens. There's synergy there, because there's not only a ton of products that people can purchase or buy or whatever they're doing with it, but also you as a designer or an artist or whatever, you become so good at what you're doing that the stuff you're making rises to the top, okay? And I know this for a fact because I remember at Silhouette when I hit, I want to say it was 3,000 or 4,000, I was like burnt out. I was like, what do I design next? I don't even know what to design next. I've already made so many products. And that's when I had to start getting crazy. And that's when I started building Halloween villages. And I started creating Christmas villages, and people started to know me for those things because it was like all 3D and crazy and nuts, and we were building these huge villages. And even a couple of years ago, I was like, I really don't know what to design is. So I started designing, like, we called them ultimate projects. So they were like big projects that you could cut on your Cameo, but required, like, I mean, seriously, 3 or 4 days to build. Because I was like, what else can I do? I've designed everything I think I can think of. So now we gotta get crazy and complicated. And those things have done very, very well for me, okay? By Richard Fenton. It's kind of the same concept if you're in any kind of sales position or selling anything, okay, any kind of product. That is, like, he says, instead of going for 10 sales, like you want 10 sales, you instead go for, or I mean, yes, 10 yeses. If you're going for 10 yeses, that's the wrong way to go. You should go for 20 nos. Like, you should be going for the nos, because the more products or the more things you have, right, the more likely it is for the yeses to sneak in. So it's like the same concept. That's my Design Suite Mastermind, and I think I already touched on it. Okay, the last thing I want to say on this particular subject is that you don't know what your stretch goals are if you are not writing them down, which is why I am nuts about a morning routine. So in my morning routine, I will tell you I stole this. This is not mine. Rachel Hollis tells us to do 10. She does like a 10 statements, and you write them all like they've already happened. So I do this for myself every day along with my gratitude practice. And what it does is it forces me to stretch, right? So instead of saying the thing I want to get to by the end of the year, I'm saying the thing I want to get to by the end of 5 years or 10 years. And you know what's crazy? Is I've been doing this now probably for 5 or 6 years. A lot of those things have already happened. Like, they happen faster than you think because you've been writing them down and they're kind of percolating in your brain, and you figure out ways to get to it. Like some big ones, you guys, like some insane ones that I never thought would happen, totally happen. So I really recommend a morning practice. All right, second, mastery addicts aren't afraid to do something over and over again to get it right, but they also know when it's time to quit and pivot. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about my company, Mini Lou, because Mini Lou is a tiny bit of a thorn in my side. I'm going to say that about Ink Club, too. We'll talk about that in a second. So Mini Lou is my company. We had it for, and we still own it, actually. But the physical side of it, we owned for about 6 years. And we just could never get the margins where I needed them to be. Because in Karina Gardner Inc., in our design side, we were making 95% margin. And I was like, this should do at least 50% margin. No. I had no clue. Physical products, totally different ballgame. And we were doing mega deals. We had a deal with Nordstrom. We had a deal in the mall with like Peak Clothing and Charlotte Russe. We had 500 independent stores. We had tons of museums that you would know were carrying our products. And the margins weren't great. We kept like making it smaller, changing the algorithm. And the bottom line is, we did it long enough. I probably did it too long. And then we finally had to pivot. Because what happened was we were making so much more money in the digital products that it didn't make sense to keep the physical ones. But it was a hard thing, and my accountant would tell you, I told Karina to stop after 3 or 4 years, but she just kept going. So I lasted 6 years, and it was a great experience. It taught me what now, you know, when we have a design suite member who's like, I want to do physical products. I'm like, okay, let me just tell you what the margin's going to be. Because once you kind of figure that out, you're like, oh man, there's so much more money over here. But that comes with experience or getting that inside scoop, right? Same with design boot camps. So when I started my first design boot camp, which is like the week-long workshop we do for designers, when I first started, it looks really different than the way it looks today. It's totally different. And it's because every time we did one, we pivoted. We just kept pivoting and tweaking it until we could get it right, okay? Okay, number three. Mastery addicts aren't afraid of more failures because they know it will lead to more successes. So I've already told you guys, like, I feel like Mini Lou is a failure, which is ironic because it actually makes us a lot of money these days. It's one of our things that we do in our design agency. But like what I intended it to be, it did not turn out to be that. That is the same with Ink Club. So I have this membership program called Ink Club, and we started it last September. We have probably pivoted it. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna look at McKenna because McKenna is in charge of it now. How many times have we pivoted it? At least two, and we haven't hit a year yet because we keep changing it. And I have crazy, I'll just tell you guys my crazy goal. I would love 10,000 people in this program, okay? I'm telling you that because that'll hold me accountable to it. We want 10,000 people in this program, and we could just continue to pivot it until we can get it right. We're feeling like we might have found the right synergy, like we're kind of there. It's taken us a couple of months to get there. But this is what I'm talking about. It, like, people who are constantly failing, it's because they're taking risks. I have failed so much in the last year. We've also had the most successful year of my entire career. But we have failed more this year than we ever have in the last 14 years. And I really believe if you're not putting yourself out there, this is part of the Ink Club thing that we're doing, if you're not putting yourself out there and making a lot of risk, smart risks, right, but failures that make sense, then you're not doing enough. And that's the bottom line. You are not doing enough, okay? I really like to do this, and I think this is really helpful for people. If you build criteria for yourself to know what a win looks like, and what a fail looks like, and that's what we had to do for Mini Lou. We kind of had to like take those last 2 years, and I said, if we hit this kind of margin, not gross, we were making a lot gross. I was like, we have to hit this kind of margin for me to continue. If we hit it, we'll keep going. If we don't hit it, we've got to be done. The last 2 years, we didn't hit it, and I said, it's time to be done. We make more money over here. And making those assessments with knowledgeable people, like your accountant or your CPA, making those assessments with your team, if you're a solopreneur, getting some outside eyes on what you're doing really is helpful as well, okay? All right, so these are the three principles I think that people really ought to be looking at. Setting your sights on a much higher goal than you might expect to achieve. Not being afraid to do something over and over again, or knowing when it's time to pivot out, okay? And there is a timeline, you guys. Like, people who, there's like that in between, right? The people who, like, they do something for 2 months and then they're out, right? We don't want to be those people. The person who holds on for 10 years because it's our baby, We don't want to be those people. There's like, there's an in-between, okay? And then people who are mastery addicts who aren't afraid of more failures because they know it leads to more successes. And I can tell you this because I feel like, I remember listening to someone say, you know, they hit their stride about year 12. And I can really tell you, I knew I had hit my stride at year 12 in my design agency. Like, I knew, like, we had hit it. Like, I was like, this is amazing. Part of it was COVID as well. We had a successful year with COVID, and it allowed me to then bridge, and now I'm not a master as I begin this design program because I'm trying to figure that out. Teaching is a totally different realm than being a designer, right? Even if I'm teaching the thing I know. And so even those, I have some Design Suite members here. Those of you who have been around for a while know that the program has changed over and over and over again because we're trying to make it better. We're 15 months into the program, and we're just barely adding an award system, an actual physical handbook. There are all these things, Etsy coaching. Like, we started adding all these things because we were watching what the membership needed, and we're trying to figure out how we can make it the best, like the best design program out there. And I would really say, no matter what business you're in, that is your only goal. Become the very, very best, or build the best thing you possibly can, and then it will come. The success will come, the money will come, the fulfillment will come, those things will all come, okay? All right, I am happy to answer any questions and end. Thank you guys so much. I have no idea with my time, I probably went super fast. I did. I tend to talk really fast, but I want to leave lots of time for questions.
All right.
Thanks for letting me sit to you guys. I picked up a sublimation heat press today. That was like the wrong, because we're doing all this like heat press affiliate stuff, and I picked one up and I was like, oh, that was my back. So
good job resting your back. And who has a question? Yes.
You mentioned one book. Are there any other books or books or resources you'd recommend?
Great question. Particularly about mastery. Well, the Alex Hormozi, Go For No, I mentioned, right? Some of my favorite books, I think, not necessarily on mastery, but I'm just going to tell you, The One Thing by Gary Keller is gold. And he, you know, he's a writer, so like he talks about all the different ways you can like really take 4 hours of time and concentrate on a single thing to become so good at it, right? So that's where your time is. Grit by Angela Duckworth, I think, is fantastic. I'm sure you've read it. Right now I am reading, this is a great one, The YouTube Formula by Daryl Eves. I'm not sure. He talks about Mr. Beast. Does anybody know about Mr. Beast? I'm like, the young ones do. I had never heard of Mr. Beast. My children are all dying when I pulled it up and started watching all his videos. Like, I was like watching all of them. And I was like totally entranced. I was like dissecting how he was doing everything. And my kids were like, Mom, you've never heard of Mr. Beast before? I'm like, this guy is amazing. He is so amazing. He has 100 million, you guys, 100 million subscribers on YouTube. And in the book, he talked about how he got there. It's because he got so crazy about the algorithm, how it worked, how every piece of his video, like he knows what needs to happen in it. That is true mastery. Like digging in into one platform the way he did, that is brilliant. So, anyway. I'm trying to think if I can think of any other books that I've read recently. I'm sure I'll think of some more. I have like a whole list, so. Questions?
You can send them to us and we'll post your book list.
That was great.
I have a question while you're thinking of them.
Oh, I thought of one more. When by Dan Pink. W-H-E-N, When by Dan Pink. It's fantastic. Before I read that book, I knew I was a morning person, but then we utilized being a morning person. So we got up at 5 a.m. because I can get more done between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. than any other part of the day. And once I figured that out, I started really being able to go faster.
Okay, that's another question. Tell us more about your morning routine, because I saw you in action at the retreat, and now I want you to explain a little bit more how powerful your morning routine is.
Heidi and I were at a retreat together, and you saw part of my morning routine, but I've really been stinking at it because I got sick in July. But I'll tell you guys generally what my morning routine is. And I have an amazing podcast episode. If you guys want to go to the Make and Design podcast with Karina Gardner, it's on Spotify, iTunes, all that other stuff. Episode, gosh, I don't know. It was like a January episode. I don't know. Yeah, McKenna's going to find it for us. I talk about morning routines. So I generally, this is just for me. If I can run first thing, I do. But that doesn't always happen. So this can be switched one way or the other. But I usually will get up, and I have a book really, really that is meant for my morning routine. I open it up. I write my 10 things, and they're always in the past. So like if I'm writing something that I really, really want to have happen, like I want to buy a rental property, right? I won't say I want to buy a rental property. I'll say I have, like it's already happened, I have a short-term rental property in Bear Lake, like very specific, okay? So I'll write my 10 things. I have one that I write every single time, which is I'm extremely close to, and I name every single family member, right? Like all three of my kids and my husband, I'm extremely close to. This is why I think that's so powerful, because you wake up during the day and you kind of get started. But if you write down these things, then throughout the day, I am thinking about how can I be extremely close to my son, my husband, my kids, right? Because those things were ingrained at the beginning. And then I do usually 3 or 4 lines of gratitude. And they are very specific. They're what I did the previous day. If I really can do it, I will go on a run. And Heidi saw this, and that was amazing where we were located. It was, like, so beautiful that I was just, like, so happy to be out on a run. I fill up my water first thing. Actually, even before I do the writing, I fill up. I have, like, a 48-ounce. It's here. It's somewhere. 48-ounce. I fill it up with ice and water, and I try to fill that up at least twice, sometimes 3 times during the day. I have to go to the bathroom a lot. But it really, it helps with my energy and going. Is that all I did when I was at the retreat? I sat down, did emails, and met with my team and Slack and all that stuff. But then I was at the retreat. I felt like I was pretty present.
Oh, yeah, you were. And what was interesting is you were focused on it even in the evening. Because I think so many times we want our morning routine to be successful, but we don't realize the hiccup in the evening if we don't focus on it the night before. So I was impressed how diligent and focused you were throughout the day and evening on those habits.
Thanks. Self-discipline, you guys. Another part of mastery. Episode 98 is my morning routine. I also do some nightly routine stuff that I talk about in there that I think is really powerful. But I will talk to myself in my journal. Like, tell myself what I'm really trying to accomplish and do. I think it's really powerful. And gets rid of all those negative thoughts. I mean, I think creatives more than anyone, like, we have, like, negative things we tell ourselves all the time. All this self-doubt and that we're not good enough and no one will buy that. And if I start this new thing, who's going to tell me I'm not doing it good enough? And it's someone usually close to us, which is not cool, right? It's usually, like, a spouse or a parent or, you know, some our best friend. And so someone told me once, actually one of my girlfriends who amazing. She said, Karina, you're so confident. And I was like, because I talk to myself nicely. I talk to myself the way I would talk to one of my good friends. Like, I'm not going to put myself down. And that took years of practice and lots of therapy. So there you go.
I think that's really powerful. I'm sorry, I'm commenting.
Go, Heidi.
I think it's so powerful because to develop the mastery in our craft, we have to have that mastery in our mind. We have to have the mindset and the intentions set with systems. Atomic Habits is another powerful book
James Clear.
Where you can set up the systems to create those positive habits, starting in the thoughts, leading into action. Yeah. Sorry. Any other questions? Yes.
I bribe my children to read Atomic Habits. Like, I pay them money to read books like that.
You talked about taking risks. I assume you didn't mean like Vegas, but
yes.
What kind of risks? And I don't know. There are people whose risk meters are kind of broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some
yeah.
just all out there. And the others.
Do you have an example? I'm actually curious. Do you have an example that like felt really, really risky? Or maybe that didn't feel risky at all. If you don't, that's okay.
So we can put context.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so to me, risk can be calculated, right? We can calculate risk, you guys. So for example, when I started my Design Suite program, what did I have to lose? My time, right? Maybe some startup software. For me, it was like Kajabi, right? And I hadn't hired anyone at that point. So maybe my reputation, right? Like maybe that was at risk, right? But those are things I could live with losing for 2 or 3 months. Like I was like, this is calculated. Like that's not gonna kill me, right? When I started Miniloo, it was a calculated risk. I sat down, I looked at how much inventory we had to get to this certain number, okay? And we ran into like, this is every new business, you guys, there's the first 3 years. It feels like the first 3 years, you always go negative. That is the thing I see over and over again. So if you just expect it, you try to play by all the rules you've set for yourself and build as big of a margin as you can, then, I mean, like we profited and I still closed it. We had a profit margin and people would be like, you're crazy, Karina. I'm like, it wasn't enough for how much effort it was once we started calculating the effort versus the margin. So I like really calculated risk. Like I'm not going to tell somebody.
Well, it's scary, I guess, when,
yes.
when you actually
well, and,
break
and,
it down.
And so like my family were starting to get into short-term rentals. That's why I use that as an example. We're like looking at short-term rentals. That feels like a risk, but not if you've sat on Airbnb and VRBO, done the math, seen what the high and low seasons are to know exactly what you're getting into. And then you calculate like, what's my bottom loss? Right? Like, what's the most I have to make just to, like, break even? If I can hit that, I'm okay. That's the way I do it.
Excellent. Other thoughts, questions? While you're thinking about them, when you are working through your thoughts and mastering the internal, what mentors have you turned to motivate yourself?
Lots of different places. So I joined a mastermind. That is actually the thing that made me, this is a great story actually. So 14 months before I started Design Suite, I was teaching one-off classes. So we have 17 courses in Design Suite now, and I was teaching them one-offs for about $300 or something, just testing it. So I was testing the waters, and the thing I couldn't figure out was, how do I get more people to see this? Because I've never been an audience builder. I've always used, one of the things I teach my designers is we don't have to build audience. We get all of our audience from all the shops we're in. So that's what I've been doing for years. That's why people didn't know who I was, because I knew I could make a lot of money and have zero audience, okay? So I started teaching these classes and I was like, oh my gosh, now I have to build an audience. I've been avoiding this for 13 years. What am I doing? This is crazy. And what I found was that I was just kind of looking. I found myself looking because I was in that pain point, right? Like we just hit like 5 figures. So it was like not very much in just the courses. And I found a mentor. My mentor is Stacy Tuschel. She's like a business person. And I was like, I need a business person. I know everything about, I don't know everything about design, but I knew enough about design to be fine. And so I was like, I need a business person. I need to see a method for bringing people in. And that's how we started Design Bootcamp, because I had that mentorship. And I was kind of figuring out the best way to educate people. And this is the interesting thing about Design Bootcamp. For those of you who've come to a Design Bootcamp or want to come to a Design Bootcamp, is that that's the only place we introduce Design Suite. And people think, oh, it's like a sales program. It's actually the opposite. It's a vetting program. So I know who should come in and who should not. And we are very careful about who comes into the program. It's a relatively expensive program because it combines college and experience, right? So it's a pretty high ticket price, and it's a whole year, and it really replaces a 4-year degree. That's what we want to do. And so I started these design boot camps, and I really teach in it, in my opinion, the basics of what you have to do strategy-wise to start a design business. And people who do not understand it or don't get it, I don't want you in my program, right? People who say, I didn't get anything out of this program, oh my gosh, you guys, like, I've heard, this is too basic, and this is not basic enough. I've heard both, okay? And if they think it's way too basic for them, but they haven't been implementing, I don't want them in my program. Like, that's almost always the case. They're like, this is so basic. And I'm like, but are you making $100,000? They're usually never even making $100 a month, okay? And that's when I'm like, you're out. Like, I need action takers. You're never going to get to the next step, ever. Then I have the people who are like, this is not basic enough. I'm like, oh, you don't have enough software knowledge, whatever knowledge needed for you to get to the next step. So it's actually a vetting process for me to make sure we get the right people in the room. We also, in our community, we really care about kindness, and it's a very collaborative community experience. People aren't competitive. I have 3 Design Suite members here. Do you guys feel like people are competitive?
No, not really.
Yeah. Like, it's not meant to be competitive, it's meant to be collaborative, so that you could reach out to any person at any point to be like, what's happening here? Are you making money here? Are you doing this here? So that people can get where they need to go. So that, it's like the inside scoop. Because you can, if you know, well, if you know what's on trend right now, if you knew what was on trend 5 years ago, if you knew what was on trend 10 years ago, and you knew it before everybody else, and you get your stuff in that shop before everybody else, you can make a lot of money, right? And that's what we do in Design Suite. My hope is, I'm always like, this is what's making a lot of money right now. We're seeing it. I'm talking to designers. I'm seeing what kind of money. They're doing $8,000 a month here. They're doing $5,000 a month here. My hope is that people are like, okay, what do I have to do to get the number of products I need into that shop to make it work, right? Because it's about longevity and output, right? Effort. Did I answer that? Oh my gosh.
So inspiring. Any other questions? Thoughts? Last call. All right, do you want to do any final summary of mastery? Takeaway.
Just more than anything, you should never lose hope, especially at the beginning. It's hard. I've heard this everywhere, and I think this is 100% true just because I've been at a lot of different levels. The hardest place to build is $0 to $100,000. It is the hardest. Once I got past that, it was easy. The next stepping stone was 250, you guys. Once I couldn't get past 250, it was like, okay. But once you got past 250, it's easy to get to a million. That is like what I'm talking about. Like, if you can get that 0 to 100, then you will understand what mastery actually takes, and you will just get really, really good at it. So stay in your lane, stop all the extra stuff, and just get really, really good at the one thing you can be really, really good at. And I say this in Design Suite, and I think I need to say it more, is that, especially I was thinking about like silhouette, I hyper-focused on silhouette for 4 years to make the kind of money I wanted there. And I wasn't doing any, I mean, I was doing a fabric line, but it was like once a year, you know? So it's like, once I hyper-focus, right now, my team, we are hyper-focusing on one shop, my whole team. For our design business. People always ask me, like, do you still make money as a designer or only on classes? We still have a design agency. Like, that is part of our business because it keeps us relevant. We understand the inside scoop and we know what's going on. I have 8 online shops plus a fabric contract. Could we have more? Yes, we could. That's all I can handle right now. That's all I can handle right now. And we are all in on one shop right now. All the rest of them, we don't worry about. We just let them create residual income for us, okay? So get really good and hyper-focus on one thing. Don't try to do all the things. All right?
Thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much. And all of you, if you would like to linger and introduce yourself to one or two people, that's part of the networking portion of our evening. Just introduce yourself and enjoy this beautiful space. Thank you again to the Hive Collaborative, and enjoy. We'll see you next month.
Did you know that you can visit me at makeanddesign.com to learn more about this podcast and join my VIP group for weekly freebies? I can't wait to see you there.